what you know about it.
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello. Hello. You're listening to The Stew, number one food podcast in America and parts of Chile. Andre Canaparo, say hello.
Hi.
He just did.
Chris Stewart in the building.
That is me.
Two in a row.
No, it's not.
One in a row.
Yes, it is.
We have one guest.
Oh, so cool. I was in Europe, so I couldn't have potted. I could have potted, but it would have been hard. Someone would have been tired.
I thought last week's episode was going to be the last one of the year, but we're like, you know what? We have room for one more. We're just squeezing in a day before New Year's Eve with one last pod. We were just talking about, speaking of New Year's Eve, at your restaurant, yeah. Stewie, the troubles of doing a prefixed menu for New Year's Eve versus doing the regular menu, yeah. And you kind of have to pick one or the other.
Yeah,
you can't, like it's tough when, from a logistical standpoint, when you have the full menu plus the side prefix, if you want,
so
that
hard.
Seems like a real clusterfuck.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if people don't, I mean, I don't have a long history of working back in the house, but I worked in restaurants. If nobody has any kind of restaurant experience, they can't imagine how difficult it is to change a menu item. Or you're like, oh yeah, it's a restaurant. You just cook it and then you serve it, right? But like the idea of changing, sourcing, spoilage, everything controlled, like when the ship's greased and running well, and then you throw in, and you're not a restaurant that like lives on five different specials every week. You know, like when you have a very solid
curated
menu.
Yeah, if you're just muscle memory, yeah. You're like, oh, normally we never do it, but tonight we're doing oysters. And just like introducing that, like throwing that in.
It's huge. It's a lot of work. And
venture to say it's dumb.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I think the way to do it is like...
Unless you got an oyster guy that's in-house, who's like, hey, man, I can really cook these oysters. I came up on these.
Right.
And then that's like that one specific staff member, that's his or her menu. And
because
then you
before,
roll
it's like, normally I'm the guy who does this, this, and this, but now I have to do oysters. Oh, yeah. And then you're like, who's going to do this, this, and this then? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you get in those New Year's Eve weeds.
But you can't be like a halfway crook about it either, because if you have a special one night and it's good...
Yeah.
But you don't have specials all the time, then what's the point of doing it ever?
It's silly.
Because the point is to get people to come back and be like, have that incredible special. What are your specials tonight? And you're like, oh, yeah, none. And they're like, oh, okay. So
it is an awkward conversation.
Yeah, the point is like, do it or don't do it. But then we're also talking about if you do New Year's, you can put one fun thing one night out of the year, and that can be kind of fun. Whatever.
The thing, oh God, they're gonna, Shop Talk sounds good. It's been a while. Yeah, the thing about specials that is such a nightmare. I really hate the verbal special. This is for the people that are out there listening that are servers, ideally. I love
all of our front of house listeners.
I love a printed menu. Give me like three on an extra card, you know? Because to verbal it, a place like us where it's such a, we have so many tables per server, like there's like large sections and it's so busy and it's turn and burn and there's a crazy wait list so people want to get in there to take the time to even just verbal a special, like a beer special is like one thing, but any specials.
So how you guys doing? Just want to let you know we have a couple specials that we're running tonight.
Yeah, when you're standing there telling these specials and you're just like scanning the whole dining room and you're just like, fuck, that person wants to close out, that person wants to order. What's this supposed to do? Like,
and then as a customer, you have to, every time they finish the description, you're like, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, half the table heard it, half the table didn't hear it. You're going to have to like almost tell specials in thirds. Like, say it's a party at 12, you have to do these four, and then these four, and these four. Because you can't be like, hey, guys, and scream the whole table. Like, all eyes here, like, they're hanging and they're catching up. I fucking hate
when you can
specials.
Just print it on a little 5x7 card and have it sitting on the table.
You know,
and
the price.
Like, I will get the oxtail special, or I won't.
It's great.
But I think the way to do that is just like keep your same menu and then have like a special supplemental thing. Like,
I love it.
If you want it, like for New Year's Eve, like the poutine for $20 more, we'll shave white truffles on it. And they'll be like, oh, it'll be like a funny thing to do. And you'll do it and it'll be delish. Yeah. And like, get a funny picture, that's like New Year's Eve, baby, champagne and gold truffle poutine. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Or like we're doing caviar on top of the nachos or what, you know, something like that.
For us to be like a special samosa, like a foie gras samosa would be fucking great. You know, like something really weird, you know, because we already have potato and foie gras kind of go well together. That could be cool, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and, also, and you can make those
like,
ahead of time.
Rip the fryer to shreds if it leaks. You're like, ugh, that... It's just...
Loose foie gras meat in the deep fryer is not good.
I would probably change the flavor of some things, but maybe not. It also will get black.
I only fry in foie oil now.
Oh, man.
With the essence.
Yeah, liver oil.
So,
speaking of France.
We're going to get into the France.
Ugh, so
I
much.
Think we need, I think for the New Year's Eve, I mean, I'm so like fooded out and partied out and social engagemented out that by the time New Year's Eve comes around, I just don't even give a shit anymore.
Well, I don't know what time I'm off, but listeners are welcome to come over to my
and friend of the show Ari Tamor, who was on the guest a few months ago, Alma, their
last night.
He's one of the few 2-time guests.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Alma is at the Standard in L.A. Their New Year's Eve is their last night. And then I don't know what they're going to do after that. I think they're going to move somewhere else, maybe.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, they're done? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, we just did a dinner there while I was gone. I was so bummed.
Yeah, it's going to be the last night. I don't think it was like a bad blood thing or like a horrible falling out. I think they just had like a set contract time that moved out.
That was...
Seemed like he
that was way
it.
Longer than it was supposed to be.
Was
it was like when it was supposed to be a couple months and turned into a year or two.
I think there's going to be other stuff, but I don't think I can talk about it publicly yet because Ari would get mad at me.
Yeah.
But if you're in LA,
investors would get more mad at him.
Or other people will get
How
mad.
How snarky is that?
Yeah.
There's more stuff, but I can't tell you about
That's
it.
That's not snarky. I was just saying,
we can
like,
edit that out.
I knew.
Teaser.
I just wanted to convey that, like, they didn't just...
Ari's dead, everybody.
He's not,
Ari got hit by a bus.
I wanted to convey that they didn't get fired by them, and it's horrible. Something good would be happening, but I would like to say it, but I can't because I don't think
he's going to tell you about it.
He's going to have a fine 2018.
I'll tell you about it, Andre, after the microphone. If we want to do gloves off today, we can play. I had my coffee earlier. I'm ready to zip and zing.
Mm.
But if you're in LA and you're looking for somewhere to go on New Year's Eve, it'll probably be like a good.
That seems like a fun one.
It'll be like nice and fancy, but like chill and not so insane. And if you haven't tried Alma,
man,
now's your last chance.
Yeah, being on the strip on fucking New Year's doesn't make you want to kill yourself. You should totally do that.
Yeah, that's the part. That's the problem.
Holy
R is like, yeah, doing the last dinner on New Year's Eve. I was like, cool, yeah, I'll come by. That'll be good. And then just like 2 hours ago, I was like,
why would I do
taking
that?
Taking an Uber to Sunset Strip on New Year's Eve.
Like, can I just do it at? Can I go to at 5 o'clock and just hang?
Yeah, maybe.
Six?
I was
help you prep vegetables at 3:30.
I was honestly thinking about going over to WeHo earlier and then just kind of like spending the afternoon around there and then having an early dinner and getting the fuck out.
Honestly, it might be cheaper to get a room than to take an Uber there and back.
I don't know. I mean, like, look, also the rooms
just
are...
Just fall asleep by the pool.
If you had an off-rate room on New Year's Eve, maybe, but the rooms are going to be expensive as shit, too.
I think I might pull a Stewie and just walk there.
Yeah, that would be very Stewie.
There's a lot of places I just, I thought about walking here.
But walk there not purposefully, just go, oh, shit, I'm right in front of the Standard. I didn't even know. I was just walking.
Hey, do you guys have just a one-top open right now?
Yeah.
I'm just in the zone.
Hey.
I can wait.
Just cruising for some brew dogs. Think I might stop in and say what's up.
I was walking to Eataly. I guess I'll pop in for a nibble.
Yeah. I was going to Neptune's Net on foot, and I just realized I'm right in front of your spot.
Shit.
What beers do you have on tap?
I got an 8 o'clock at Nobu Malibu, but I can do an app.
Okay, I was just breaking in the Birkenstocks, you know?
Wait, so... all right, keep going, because then when we get into France, I got
so if I don't eat, if I don't eat at Alma New Year's Eve, then we will make some nibbles and drink some bubbly at Casa de Canaparo.
I might make cassoulet.
Oh yeah,
Cassoulet is that's a good version of a New Year's Eve dinner. Winter say. Vibes,
but it's not necessarily pregame food to go out. So the idea would be, my point being like, if I'm gonna make cassoulet and then we're gonna go do something afterwards, it'll be like a bunch of salads and like a little bowl. And we're already on the east side; we can fucking walk around, and go do something stupid. I'm not going somewhere or the roof. Roof's tight. The
roof is great
at the crib.
Ooh. Yeah.
But
I really like the roof.
But to do something heavy like that on a night where people kind of want to stay up, in theory,
yeah,
you just eat less and serve salads, and you make sure you have coffee, and you know,
yeah, it's not like we're having a chili cook-off on New Year's Eve, and then we're gonna wear tuxes and go to One Oak.
There's a deep fry station.
We're just gonna fart. It's gonna be great.
Mm. I've never made cassoulet before. Have you made it?
Yeah, but this one, I mean, what I wanted to do is kind of have a letter of the law recipe from something old school. I didn't even find it, but it'd be salt pork, lamb.
Escoffier.
Yeah. I have the beans. I have cassoulet beans from Rancho Gordo that I bought in case it happens.
What kind of beans are those? Are those flageolet?
White beans.
Yeah.
Just white beans.
Well, they say cassoulet, and I know in substitute you can do great white beans.
What about the flageolet? Great northern beans?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, without knowing specifically, without being a bean expert, I would think flageolet would be fine. And that might actually be the perfect bean, too.
The Legumist. I subscribe to The Legumist.
But it's
Chris Nolan's best film.
It's my favorite quarterly.
It's a buttery bean. It's like a small butter bean. It's like you want it to not have like the some of the beans like you know, like in the lima bean family where they're not buttery. They're great. Hard, I love them. Firm. But they kind of crumble a little bit as opposed to like be soft.
Well, you want it's really once you get that perfected bean of like it holds its shape.
The skin pops, but inside it's really soft
and absorbent.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Yeah, fava bean's not going to pull any flavor really.
Yeah,
nature's gnocchi. I will say
duck confit. You need a few confit legs in there.
Okay, yeah. So salt pork, lamb. What part of the lamb?
I don't know. I think you can do. I mean, I have to dig a little bit deeper, but I would picture, like, for me, I would like something with a little bone. So I was thinking, like, just a nice shank. Like
I was thinking shank as well. Get that bone in there.
But I would imagine, you know, it could be anything from cubed to chops. I mean, it cooks so long that most of it loses a lot of its shape if it starts in a specific shape to begin with. You know, it kind of dissolves
a little bit.
Especially, I mean, if you've got confit leg, that just falls apart, period.
Yeah.
And if you stew or braise it after it's already confit.
So this really is a special, special pot of beans.
I would start it tomorrow. And I'll make it, if I don't make it tomorrow, I'll make it some other time. Or, I mean, if I don't make it for New Year's. I was just kind of waiting to hear what we're doing before I undergo this thing.
And then when I've had it before, I think, like, you like do a little olive oil on top at the end, some breadcrumbs,
yep.
Things like that.
Yep.
That's serve so with good.
Rustic pan.
Yeah, definitely.
Pan rustique.
Picturing like the Alimento where you put a bunch of olive oil on there and get the grill marks there. It sounds good.
Sui, what kind of natural wine would you pair with that cassoulet for a New Year's Eve meal?
I want sulfites, that one. I need something that's dirty.
Oh, you need some sulfites in it. Okay.
Grab you by the boo boo.
I had somebody come up to me last night in the club.
Yeah,
they're asking me about natural wines because they listened to our podcast with Marissa Ross about it.
Oh, okay.
So they're talking the wrong half of that podcast.
And I was like, lady, yeah, I don't fucking know.
I mean,
I just drink.
Did you get her kicked out?
I had her removed by security, yeah.
Cool.
I could just say, even in France on the trip and even lately, whenever I drink natural wine, it just tastes like juice to me in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, it's awesome. But so that's why with a cassoulet, I'm like, I don't know. I think I want something beastie to go with that.
Mm, it's kind of like sometimes when you're like, I want
like a Bud Light Lime or something,
or like, you know what? For whatever's going on right now, Tom's of Maine isn't gonna cut it. I need the real shit. It's kind of like, yeah, it's that version, but for wine.
Yeah,
like some things you can get like the natural hippie version of it. Some things are like, mm-mm.
You know, just blend it with the grapes too. like a smoothie,
like a Coke a Zero, for yeah, instance, yeah. compared mm, to
you got my attention.
Go Spanish, put a splash, or Argentinian, put a splash of Coke in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was talking about Coke and red wine to somebody, or I made it mentioned as a joke, and they didn't believe me that it was a thing that existed. And I was
it's
like,
also
it's
tasty,
huge. It's not that bad.
No, I like it.
Yeah, I usually will do like a glass of red wine and then just a little gummer.
Yep.
Well, at the restaurant, we have the Dirty Sprite. This is Lambrusco that wasn't selling that is really delicious, which was actually a natty wine that was thick and viscous and like really intense. And
a little leathery. A viscous natty?
Viscous natty ice. And then we just, it wasn't moving, so Knuckle made a recipe just like off the dome. It was pretty awesome. He's like, take a pint glass. We're in the office having this conversation. He says, go upstairs, get a pint glass, fill it all the way with ice. He was like, you know, to the top specifically. Yep.
Because and you then, make more money selling ice than wine?
No, no, no. And then you do a wine up to the hip. You know, there's like that, whatever you call it. We call it that hip, but where the flutes of a pint glass stop and then it kind of goes out horizontally, then up again. That's called the hip. Mm-hmm. That's usually if you're a server, you see some knuckleheads grabbing it from the top, like with their handprints, kind of where your mouth goes. Ideally, your hand would go below the hip. It's like a good gauge. So like, here you are. It's like a server's 101 thing.
Well, inside baseball right here, yeah. I like this.
Yeah,
always grab it by the hip.
Well, you should, yeah. You got to guide it.
By
the hip. And then, yeah, wine to the hip, which bizarrely, when we measured it out, was the exact pour of a glass of wine. And then the top, the negative space, the one-third left, just hit it with Sprite and then two straws, and we made Dirty Sprite. And first take was like, fuck. And it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
And then a little maraschino cherry on top, making sure
that
the temple.
Would be fucking awesome. Yeah.
I think you need to do a New Year's Eve supplement for that.
Yeah.
For an extra 15.
La Croix.
No. Promethazine.
Promethazine.
You can get
the real deal.
You get the real shit in there. Yeah. Another 15 hit. You want high tech? It's going to be 50, but that's for the high roller.
Oh God, that's a lot of dishwashing.
High tech is a boutique high level brand of lean. If you guys didn't know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were on the blogs too.
You guys are on the blogs, right? So yeah, Stewie, you were in Europe.
I was in Europa.
On a gastronomic adventure to visit your wife's family and yeah. friends.
That was the impetus. It was holidays.
If people saw the thing, the cover you did last week.
Oh, yeah.
That was taken by his wife, Camille, but Stu was in the flesh for what could only be called a genocide. a complete and total erasure of a species.
Urchin genocide.
Yeah. It was. It's so.
What
yeah.
up, you guys? We're urchin genocide.
Well, let's start from the start. You arrived first into London town.
London, which was I almost
London
don't want to tell anybody.
They speak English
there. A, they speak English, and B, Brexit happened, which was bad for them, but really good for travelers. It's was notoriously 2-1 from pound.
Mm-hmm.
To dollar, and it's almost 1-1. It's like the conversion rate's nothing. So the flight was cheap, and then the food and the beer were just like I kind of forget that Los Angeles is expensive.
It is. Know?
It's very expensive.
It's really expensive. Maybe yeah, it just happened so incrementally to us that we kind of forgot. It didn't hit us all at once, you know.
Well, if you don't go to your neighborhood spots, you step out of your neighborhood spots, and yeah, we're just hammered over the head that this is what something costs, and you go anywhere else, and you're like, wow,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, isn't it?
So that's a travel pro tip because of the Brexit,
go to London.
And also the way that Europe works with being able to take trains everywhere. Yeah. Like you could fly into Heathrow, and then you can kind of zip around to other cities and countries on the train.
Yeah, you can take the train or fly, and then I mean, obviously, if you our time of the year, the time of year that I was there for the holidays, everything was so much more expensive. But if you went, mm-hmm. in March, you would get around like nothing. But yeah, and even taking the tunnel underneath the ocean is kind of cool.
Trains are the best.
When you pop out, you get to see the whole countryside. You get to see a transition from a city to the countryside back to a city again. It's pretty neat.
If it's a decent train, it's my favorite way to go anywhere most of the time.
Yeah, we had a special.
If you have a decent like route and view, mm-hmm. and it's not a total shit show, and yeah. I love trains.
When we loaded up Netflix with some downloaded, we watched Dark. the new show on Netflix. Sidebar, very, very good. When you're on the train, Dark. you can download. I don't know. You can download shows to your iPad or your iPhone, so you just watch them all.
Yeah,
yeah. Dark is very
Amazon
good.
Amazon Prime and German Netflix show. Lets you do that. It's very nice for traveling.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I usually just torrent them.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, you know,
the gentleman's download.
We're iPad heads.
The gentleman's download. Said no one about torrenting.
It's the kind of download where, like, if you do it too much, you'll get an email from Time Warner.
Yeah, just saying thank you for downloading all these torrents.
Yeah, thanks for using like less bandwidth.
That's you're one of our heavy users, and we appreciate you. Love Time Warner.
Shit.
So what were you eating in London? You popped in for a pint and some fish and chips, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was the kind of the first vibe was a pub straight away, like cask beer, you know, like in the wooden barrels laid horizontally, and the it's not even that carbonated and it's not even that cold. It's like $2.50 for a little half pint, because you know you're having it for lunch. There's men and women in business attire going to get like a scotch egg and a pint to chill in their lunch break, and they come back.
Yeah, it's so crazy. There's that, I know when I've traveled in Europe and seen people having like a short beer for breakfast with like, and they're in a suit. They're successful human beings. Yeah. They're not raging alcoholics, but it's like they've got like an espresso, a short beer, a paper out, a briefcase. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just like, okay.
I mean, if you work your ass off and you're going to treat yourself to something mellow,
apparently you can handle that.
And you just have one, but the cask, it was like 3%.
Yeah.
It was really
low.
Well,
that's low. Two. Yeah.
It was super mellow. Yeah. And so easy how many on of those, my stomach, too.
No one's doing a barley wine at 7:30 in the morning with some snacks.
Oh, they are.
How many of those little guys did you have to drink to black out, though?
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I didn't get properly drunk at all in Europe.
I was hoping for a little more British slang coming out
proper,
of you.
Proper. Probably didn't get proper blitz, mate.
I didn't even think it's like, yeah, it's like a little half pint, so I had 70.
Yeah, no,
it's like
good.
McSorley's in New York.
Well, before I left, I stopped drinking for like a month, so I didn't want to just go 0-60. Yeah, I'm a loser. But the pub mentality, the Scotch egg is great.
I've never had a Scotch egg.
Mushy peas are great.
Mushy peas are great because mushy peas. Yeah, you didn't realize that the Scotch egg is. I don't even know how to describe it. So. Egg inside of a pork sausage that's dusted,
battered and deep fried.
Yeah, it's not even really battered. It's more like crumbed. It's like rolled in breadcrumbs. Really,
it's crumbed.
It's crumbed.
It's crumbed.
Is.
I've always liked the Scotch egg. It's always been fascinating to me. It's one of those things where like it seems like it's way too much work for how good it will possibly taste.
100%.
Like I know what an egg tastes like, and I know what sausage tastes like, and it's pretty good, but like you have to soft boil the egg to the perfect point to where it holds its shape enough to be able to receive a sausage coating.
You can do like the ramen treatment where you do a big batch, cool them, and then you make sure that you wrap them and cool them, and they go in cold. So the center doesn't cook at all, and all you're doing is the batter. And
that's kind of the problem, Bob's though, your because uncle. But since the whites and the yolks cook at different temperatures, sous vide doesn't always work the best for it. It's almost better to do a flash boil for a shorter amount of time because you want the whites to set so it protects the yolk inside and it's able to have like the structural integrity to support the sausage being wrapped around it. But I've never tried it before. But yeah, you make a soft boiled egg and you have to peel it and without the yolk popping, and it has to be cooked just the perfect amount. And then you wrap it in sausage and egg wash, flour, breadcrumb, deep fry it, and it has to cook at the right temperature so the yolk on the inside still stays runny when you cut into it halfway.
It was really viscous too. And you could tell it was a good egg. I went to a really old pub. I have a photo somewhere, I can't think of the name, but
Is it called Ye Old Pub?
Yeah, sure. It was like a Flatiron building. It's a skinny little spot. Everything has like a basement in Europe. It was awesome.
It does.
All the restrooms are downstairs, basically, and then that's where like the scullery is. You know?
Water closet.
Yeah, the Dub C. London, though, I'll make it quick. London, just like it felt like Portland. But much, much better. Like, loads of really good coffee.
It's changed since last time I've been there.
Yeah, loads of really good coffee, new cool butcher shops, like, really giving shit about the seasons and great ingredients. And I'm sure there's loads of high-end restaurants, but there's plenty of, like, the whole bistronomy movement, you know? Just nice, quaint, like a the London version of Kismet that was just really no frills. That was pretty damn good.
Yeah, just a sardine sani. Sardine sani.
Not even. No, it was
just a bit of rocket.
There wasn't. You know what? Some people talk. The accent was mellow. Yeah,
that's too bad.
You're doing more like an Irish Scottish, I think. I think the Londoners. I mean, when they were hammered, I guess. But yeah, it didn't. I mean, you notice it, but I guess you just get used to it.
Yeah, you get used to it. Yeah. It seems magical during the holiday time.
The coffee there, because after going to France, where the coffee is like really hard to find, like the good stuff. Everything's just like literally an espresso in a cafe or in a bistro.
Everything is shit in France.
No, it's just the coffee. They just like they phone it. They mail it in on the coffee. They do.
There's a lot of Nespresso. You know,
unreal service and everything, the attention to deal to just all the fresh bread that they just hand out to you, and the butter is amazing, and the level of execution is so high, and everything, the wine, everything, and they give a shit, and then gets to the coffee, and you're like, oh.
I guess it's kind of like us with tea. Like Europeans have high regard for the tea and how it should all be done, and then in America, it's definitely an afterthought.
Yeah, I mean,
especially in the UK.
Yeah, we have it on a gun, you know, like an iced tea button, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, mate.
Yeah. Clemson and Son. That was the big coffee shop over there. That was like the prestigious one, like our version of like G&B, or maybe it is like really Portland, I guess. Like very like DIY. We start from nothing, and then good for the community.
Came from the gutter.
Big outreach. A lot of places have zines and like pamphlets and like, but their manifestos and things like that. It was pretty rad. And
so, but then
the design
you found,
there is
but
great.
But then you found a cool place to go after finding that
no,
place?
No, they have all those things, but it's not like, it's not full, Burning Man. They're all normal people,
no,
you know?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Jason went to the bathroom, so I'm going to stall out.
We don't fucking need him.
Yeah, he's a loser. Went to Paris next, and that was where the
food
was excellent.
But you didn't really talk about. You talked about having a pint.
Yeah, of course.
But what else did you eat in London?
It was brief. I was there for like 2 nights. I laid at the Kismet place.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go to work, so I can't spend too much time on everything. Had the Kismet-y type spot, which was super kraken, big beautiful horse shaped bar. Let's see. I have loads of notes.
And you didn't? Did you get like a proper roast?
No, I didn't have a proper roast.
Did you get any Indian?
Indian? Oh yeah, I totally forgot the Indian food.
Incredible.
Well, we kept it simple in London, and then we went to Brick Lane, which is like which is insane. It's like going to a strip. It's hard. I guess if you're in downtown LA and you're like in the garment district and there's people out front just trying to like, hey, come in here. I'll give you a good deal on this, this, and this. It's like that with Indian food. So
that's
guys,
like being on the wharf.
It's like being on the wharf where they're just like, they're hustling you and screaming at each other to like get you in there. I was like, we had a bottle. So I was like, well, this free bottle plus you give me another free bottle of wine to come in here. And then what's your regular price? Oh, we'll give you all like 17 ahead if you come eat at ours. There are 8 of us. So they're trying to get us in. And then you realize, like, the food in Brick Lane is so bad. It was, like, awful Indian food. It was really bad. I wish we had gone to, like, a proper Indian restaurant that was, you know, like, I'd done my research and gone to, like, a highly regarded
one. To have
one,
one Indian meal in London and have it be bad is just, like, going to New England and eating seafood and having, like, a bad lobster.
Yeah, red lobster sucked.
Yeah, it was like the biscuits were cool, but yeah, that's it.
Well, honestly, London was about just like quick hits, running around, just trying to see some things, because Paris was taking our time more, seeing people, having longer hangs at one spot, like the whole bistro culture. London is just like, France is more like really long meals and chilling and leisureful. Mm-hmm. In London, I was just like more sightseeing.
You were also in Marseille on the water.
Yeah, it's completely
holiday
different.
Time.
Three completely different cities I was in.
Yeah,
but yeah, London was honestly a lot of cafes, like simple pastries. I had a great veggie burger at a spot called Market Cafe, and they had a good like a plowman's meal. Like a meal of
piece of cheese.
Yeah, that was just it's great the way they do lunch. It's just they have maybe higher dollar items, like a big old burger with bacon or you know something like another like a normal pub stuff that's just like elevated. And they have something cheap for the everyman that just wants to come in for lunch. It's pretty cool for the stewie. Now I got a veggie burger. It was really good.
What is a plowman's plate consist of?
The protein on it's usually like a big piece of cheese.
Yeah, a big piece of cheese,
some bread, some veg.
A piece of day-old bread that's ripped instead of sliced.
Something along those lines, but you know, in the updated version, it's just like
a raw egg in the shell.
One of those revolving, like, hey, we have too much broccoli. We'll throw broccoli on a plate and make like a pesto. Oh. And it's like the special of the day, you know.
I think that's a good idea. That should be done more often.
It's kind of like how Dune has their like $5 Sammy, you know?
Yeah, the community sandwich.
Yeah. So that's like the mentality. Oh, okay, just interpreted however you want to interpret it, I'm pretty sure.
I like Plowman's Lunch.
Yeah, we had one at Mother's. We had the Plowman share, and you can get it like over a potato or over a whole sweet potato and gravy or cheese and just loads of veg. And it's just like a really hearty, sensible lunch for not a lot of money. It's something that you really can kind of like throw in the oven like and roast it off, so it's really easy to execute too. Like a lot of times.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that was a great vibe. London is more, I don't know, it felt more like home, and then, you know, off to Paris, and it feels a little bit more like Mars. And then the thing about what's cool about traveling over there, if you know what you're doing and you can go to like get like a pre-made sandwich at the train in London, like London's really good about pre-made food. I found kind of like Fresh and Easy came from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Tesco
is the shit one.
Like the Wolfgang Puck to go, their version of that is fire.
It was very good, actually. Just excellent veggie sandwiches. I ordered
the Chili's to go is really good in London.
Yeah.
How
many times have you eaten Nando's?
Chicken Caesar.
Zero is Nando's. I wasn't there for very long. I was there for 2 nights, and then most of the time I was exhausted because I'd just gotten off a flight. And I swear to God, I really just drank some beer and a lot of coffee.
Well knackered.
And then...
On the flight?
On the flight, I drank everything. It was great.
Yeah.
We had a great flight. Air New Zealand was fantastic. You push a little button and like, here comes a
the international flight, when they're like, when it's all free... It's hard to say no.
Yeah. Well.
So then you fly from London to Paris. How long is that flight?
Oh, I took the train. It's a couple hours. We took the underground. But anyway, so we get there, and I happen to be staying in a building, and below us is from Mind of the Chef. This is Le Comptoir. It's his name's Yves Chambord, and it's. It's kind of like the model after Petit Trois. Petit Trois really. Was influenced by the bistro culture, and specifically this place where, you know, listeners know it's literally only counter space at Petit Trois, and this place is, there's literally only counter space, but there's no seats even. So you're just eating, standing, mixing and milling, kind of talking shit, and ideally the owner's
there. Still making friends up in that joint.
I don't speak.
Hey, how are you? What's going on? What are you doing?
If it was
sick.
This is a good scarf you have. Wow.
In London I would have, but in France it's more like, oh God, no one talks to me, please. I'm just embarrassed. My lady was there to help interpret. So she ordered for me, got fried.
She says you smell.
Yeah. Got this... pig ear dish.
Wow.
This man says you're too fat to be in the restaurant.
Yeah. It's pig ear.
How do you say barn door is open?
Yeah. This looks nice.
Yeah, pig ears sliced real thin, cooked slow and low. Is it pomegranate seeds, I believe, or currants? I can't remember.
And that is a Michelin-starred establishment, right?
No, the other one, the Michelin-starred restaurant I went to, I'll tell you in a second, is Chateaubriand. And that was wild. But this place, so you walk in and you look up and there's just a, you know, you go to a Chinese spot and you see the menu and there's like photos and the dollar amount next to it and the digital description. Mm. It's like that, but they're all hanging from the ceiling and it's kind of tongue in cheeky. Mm. And the food is really rustic and you can get simple stuff, classic stuff, the weird, the awful stuff, like the wonky fun bits. Like just there's just a big mound of butter, probably like
chicken
a
feet.
Foot around and then maybe 8 inches high, and you just walk up and you take your spoon and you just it's like a communal butter like
it's wheel. Like a salad bar for butter?
Yeah, essentially. And then I didn't realize it was there until like halfway through my meal, like shit, and I go and grab some butter. Oh yeah, this is great. Cornichons are just like flying at you. It's just amazing.
This is a nice vibe.
It was really good vibe. It's all about like just there's a thing called apéro, and that's where you like it's kinda like the French happy hour. and you would go there, have a bottle, maybe have a couple bottles, and just have some nosh and hang out there. And then you kind of keep the party going. You know how happy hour turns into like 2 in the morning? That's the vibe of this spot.
Cigar.
That's the comptoir. They're like, let's go next door to the real deal restaurant, then have a proper meal.
It's kind of like after the show, it's the after party.
Yeah, it's fun.
And after
nuts.
The party, it's Stewie's.
It's Stewie's. And it's Nespresso.
I really like the that type of living where you build the day up in succession of like do a little bit of this, then this, and it ramps up.
Yeah.
Has a final extravaganza and you go to bed. It's more fun that way.
And then you're meeting somebody at McDonald's at 4:30 in the morning.
it's like White Castle in New York. Then my wife is French, is a vegetarian. So she ordered me the jamon de Paris, and it was way too much meat for one man to eat. So she actually went and ran an errand and left me there by myself just to eat this beautiful pork by myself.
Ooh.
I told her,
what?
Hey, I was like, can I offer this to somebody else? And she's like, don't do that. It's like, because in the States, I would be like, hey, man, I have all this pork. Will you please help me eat this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just as weird here when you do that, too, by the way.
I mean, dude, it's like, just I don't think so. It happens. I see it at restaurants all the time.
In my entire life of eating, no one's ever been like, yo, I can't finish this. Do you want
it? It's a share plate.
It's happened to me before, for sure.
How many times?
I see it once a week at the restaurant.
I've eaten food from other people's plates.
I'm not above it. I'm not knocking the act of it.
Maybe like 20 times in my life.
I did it on a lunch.
Get the fuck out of here.
I did it on a lunch.
20 times someone's
been
like, yo, I can't kill this. I'm a stranger. I've obviously bit into half of it. Would you like to eat it at a place that you obviously...
No, it's not the vibe. The share plate stuff.
It's not,
no.
it's not like half a burger that they've been munching on.
It's like, help me eat this plate of cheese or help me eat this something. Or like, maybe you're sitting at a bar and you're making friends with somebody and like, hey... And ideally, you just get it and you're like, hey, man, cut off a piece of yourself. This is really good. You should try it.
I've had the situation a lot.
It's more akin to buying someone you're chatting with a drink at a bar.
Yeah. More akin to that.
On a friend level. Like, hey, you want a beer?
It's chill.
You're breaking bread. Yeah. I've had a lot of times where you're like,
Maybe that's happened to me.
You know when you're sitting at a table and then like the waiter, the server brings out a plate to the table next to you and then you and the person you're eating with are like, oh, what is that? That looks good. And then you lean over and you're like, I'm sorry, that looks really good. What is that? And they're like, oh, it's the blah, blah, blah. Do you want to try some? And you're like, oh, no. And they're like, no, seriously, try some. And I was like, no. Thank you so much, though. That's really sweet of you. And they're like, please, just like don't bullshit. Just have some.
All right, maybe I've done that.
And then you're like,
all right,
cool. And then you eat it, you're like, damn, it's good. Yeah. I've been on both sides of that transaction before.
Anyway.
All right, I'll believe it.
Well, I wasn't allowed to do it, so that...
So you had to cut into those margins, Daddy.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you line your pockets.
Trying to give away free food you are paying for.
Do you know what makes what jamon Paris different than?
No idea, because my lady abandoned me. So
I think it's less aged.
Less aged.
It seemed like it.
I believe it's less aged without being an authority.
It wasn't. It was really soft.
Like a fresh prosciutto.
It was super soft, so it didn't make
sense.
So
it's not smoked. It's just cured.
Well, prosciutto isn't smoked. It's just cured, but different.
I'm talking about jamon, not prosciutto.
I don't think jamon is like jamon.
Look,
Serrano,
I was trying to weave in a smoking French people joke.
Got it.
It's really.
But yeah,
geez,
no,
it's lazy.
Well, it's like Iberico and jamon. They have a minimum amount of time that they need to be aged to be certified street legal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're describing is
same
more
thing for my Civic. Said that I got to put the license plate on the front. It's fucking bullshit.
Got to take care of that underlight kit, baby.
Well, anyway.
But yeah, so I think it's like a fresher, salty, delicious.
So you munched a bunch of ham flaps all day long, had some wine.
Had some wine.
She picked up the dry cleaning.
Passed out.
Espresso.
And then I'm just going to give you the quick hits because I really do have to leave soon.
I'm sorry. Are we keeping you from something a job?
You have to go to your
or
job.
Or work?
Well, this knucklehead over here had to run his laundry, so I pushed the freaking... start time back.
Oh, wow. Some people like to smell nice, Stewie.
We're blaming this on laundry? No.
Yes, I think so. So that's that quintessential, like if you go to Paris and or even France in general, if you don't get that baguette with the butter and cheese ham and the cornichon, like you're a fool. That's the one where you can't miss it. So I have a spot, Cul de Cochon, so it's C-U-L-D-E Cochon.
Say it again.
Cool de Cochon. And it's that's like the hipster butcher shop. And you can see You could buy just for walking around. They have the like the
that
old,
is sick.
The old school paper water cups. You know, they have it just sitting there like a cone.
Looks and like an ice cream cone made
out of paper. Yeah, they have
or like when you get Belgian fries, exactly. Just wrapped in a cone and just dip with it.
Pommes frites.
And it's just filled with little cheese pieces of meat and cheese.
Yeah,
I think what always blows my mind
for
when I go
Euros.
To Paris, nothing is that expensive. And I'm telling you, it's a good deal.
I don't know where you went, but yeah, some things are expensive there.
Well, not nothing, of course, but. No different than here.
But what always blows my mind in Paris and just at lots of places in France, that there's like seven different kinds of baguette that's the same baguette.
Yeah.
But like cooked in so nominally different ways, yet it still has its own name. And I can't remember. Like there's like...
Like the variation is
baguette
so small.
De Paris. There's like baguette something. There's baguette this. And you look at them and you're like, I think that one's darker. I can't tell. Mm. They all look the exact same. Some are slightly crustier. Some like
demi baguette.
Yeah. And it's like,
and everyone
I
has,
love it.
Everyone has their specific one.
It's such like a, it's so amazing. You never see anybody line up at a bakery, you know, in the States. And
no.
There's like always a line in the bakeries when you walk by, like at times you would expect.
Yeah. And then when you walk in...
They move fast,
in,
they clip, and it's almost intimidating.
Yeah.
When you want to get a bag, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, gonna, everyone's going to look at me. An empty one.
It's like the soup Nazi.
There's a line behind you.
Yeah.
You know, you turn out, you know.
Ooh. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So, it's true. And then I did have a crepe while I was there.
Ah!
And I recommend a spot called Lulu. And that was one that we just happened to...
Lulu Crepe?
We just, Lulu Nan Nan Toi. It's just an old school spot. There's a lot of places that are new, but harken back to the old, like kind of nostalgic with a lot of wood.
Steampunk.
But you can tell it's all updated. Not at all. So it's a very nice man, like a 40-year-old man. And just hardwood, a nice bar.
I've seen nice 40-year-old steampunk men.
Yeah.
Most steampunk men are 40.
Just a normal-looking dude, actually. There's no
steampunk.
When
was the last time you were at SteamCon, dude?
I don't want anything to do with steampunk. Why are you saying
then
that?
Then why'd you go to fucking France?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's
where it all started.
Why'd you marry Camille if you're not into steampunk?
Oh, my God. You're a fucking crazy person. Yeah. Super rustic crepe with... I didn't realize that the standard is buckwheat.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's really hearty.
That's their version of soba noodle?
Kind of bluish. Yeah, it really is. Because you know, even in France, there's tons of the shitty version of all the stuff that we know, like a really bad, like the baguette sandwich. Like, you can spot that one's gross. I even had a ham and cheese croissant, and they're like, oh, it's different here because it has like bechamel, and it's really, really heavy, and it's just like almost the size of like a child's football, you know? And I couldn't finish it because it felt like
just that football.
Three
ham.
Child's football. I mean, it's
what
huge.
The hell
you
is
know?
A child's football?
Like a smaller football. What do you mean? How is that?
Dude, it's lit. I love that.
It's a little football.
I'm gonna start thinking of theme in things in terms of child's footballs all the time now.
Well, that's what the croissant looked like. It was like
a globe, like a half a child's football, you dig?
No, it's the shape of a football, but the small version.
Yeah, no.
Put it into a fruit or a vegetable size-wise, akin to, since we are...
Small eggplant.
A mango.
Mango.
A little bit bigger than a mango.
A little bit bigger than a mango.
So like an adult
but in
mango.
In the shape of a football.
Not a jackfruit.
There's
though.
Not fruits that look like footballs, and there's not fruits that look like this damn croissant, so I didn't use the analogy, you weirdo.
That's just
I tight. Remember when I was five and I got my first child's football.
Yo, is small kids football a good name for a sandwich shop?
Jesus Christ. I am so confused.
We're just jumping on it for no reason at all.
Kids football is my new snack shop I'm opening in Echo Park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I lost my notes. anyway, it's just like that was a terrible, terrible version of a delicious food that I was...
It's easy to spot the shitty ones like the sweaty lettuce that's been sitting out
and
all
also,
day. They don't eat lettuce in France.
After a few days, your standards fly through the roof as far as like if you've eaten a few good croissants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then like what you would eat and say like, what is this garbage? If you had it somewhere else, you'd be like, it's a pretty good croissant.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was like.
Your expectations very quickly turned to 10.
What was the other restaurant in Paris that you went to? The other Michelin?
Chateaubriand.
And it's very famous restaurant.
It's his other one is like Le Dauphin. Le Dauphin. It just means like the dolphin.
But
that one is kind of the forefront of the bistronomy movement where you can have a Michelin star I think he got it like last year.
Semi-casual. Not full.
And like $2 signs. It was, you know, like $80 a head for 7 courses.
Yeah.
Bistronomy.
Yeah. Not bad.
So I guess I just rewatched it, and his formula is that 5 amuse, 1 starter, 1 fish, the meat course, then 2 desserts. But everything changes. Maybe not daily, but more or less there's at least one change a day, but there's a constant. It's a dessert dish, and it's the craziest dessert. It's crystallized egg yolk, crystallized in syrup for 24 hours, and the exterior is hard and crunchy, and you bite into it, and it's on top of like this little almond meringue kind of paste. It's called a dacquoise. I've never had that before.
Yeah.
And just a tiny little dacquoise that it's like the pedestal, and it's sitting on that, and you pop it in there, and the egg yolk just explodes, and it's just nuts.
Is the egg yolk room temp?
Pretty much, actually, yeah. It's just they're fried off. It didn't come out hot at all.
So they just take a yolk and submerge it in clear syrup?
Yeah, until it gets hard.
I feel like I've had this or seen this or something, but yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was fantastic, but it's just the variety of like fun dishes to classics during the tasting menu was one of the best meals of my whole life.
So then, easy to spend $80 without paying attention.
And then you could just bullshit with the staff. They're really nice. They're, you know, it's kind of cool when you go to these high restaurants. I'm sure it's the same in the States, but you know, it's hard to really get back there. There's such a separation. Mm-hmm. But you go to use the bathroom, and there's the kitchen, like it's right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just watch, and you can see everyone there. They
sound
like
a little bit
a
like
Tuamek
to me.
It was like,
Stewie's telling the story, and what if the two cooks were like, "Why is this fucking idiot looking at us? He keeps going and pee pee. Look at us. I fucking cut him. Come one more time.
No way. There was none of that. It was they're so chill.
He's like, you just hang out. They're just like kicking it with you and hanging out.
He's still here.
I was stabbing.
God, that is not something I would do.
I like any restaurant where you get start off with 5 amuse bouches.
Yeah,
and those come with quickness as well.
Pretty much
assuming.
As fast as you can eat it. Maybe sometimes it's not even as fast as you can eat it. They'll give you a second one if there's room on the table. The fun one was just like little tiny shrimp turn into a chip, like a little crisp, like about the size of a.
They sell shrimp chips,
but it was whole shrimp. You know, just
like pounded flat.
No. I mean, not pounded flat. Just like it looked like you had it in like in a ring mold. And then you just kind of, I don't know, I actually don't know how, maybe they baked it off, but I'm sure it was fried. It was, I've never seen it. It's just like, it looked like a bunch of shrimp had just decided to go into a circle, like little tiny, like brine shrimp, and just sat there like, okay, we're here.
Oh,
well,
is it like the little bay shrimp?
And then you pick it up, yeah, a little shorty. Then you pick it up and just like, whoa.
Was it funky?
It was funky, but it was kind of had like a... Like, what's the seasoning you put on fruit on when you have the like street mangoes?
Like chili lime?
Yeah,
kind of
like
thing?
Chili lime kind of thing. It was awesome. It was so cool. And it really did, like, okay, now.
You think they were dehydrated a little bit?
It could have been, but they said it was fried. So
fried.
Yeah, okay. But I think it could be a combo just to get it in that shape and then to fry it off. But I think it was fried just to get
visually appealing.
So cool. Just like, alien. Like,
A bunch of shrimp just. Decided to all get into a circle.
Just a bunch of sea monkeys, a delicious bunch of sea monkeys.
That's just what it looked like. Yeah, and then
that sounds nice.
And then to delicious like chorizo and clam with a nice simple light broth,
civilized.
Like juxtaposition of like classics, but very well executed and really simple. Like 3 ingredients, and then bam, perfect.
Mm.
But there was probably the best was just like a veggie consomme. And then inside is like 1 ravioli with gorgonzola and then heavily seasoned with cumin. And you pop that in there and it's floating in there. So it keeps at this perfect temperature and perfect consistency. So when you pop it, it has like that ooze of melted gorgonzola, but it's not like scalding hot. That was crazy. And then you drink the broth after. That
sounds really good.
Raviolo and consomme.
Yeah. Super casual. And you can see the chef. Just like smoking outside, chilling, you kind of like throw a nod, like, hey, you know.
These fucking American come talk to me one more time. I swear to God.
No, they like
it. He's just like, hey, what's up, dude?
I mean, you could definitely see the people that do
the
not.
The soup is bomb, dude.
Like Americans, but then you could see the people that are like.
Ravioli was the shit.
Yeah. So let's see. That was a big one. Then the south of France, where I had probably one of the best pizzas in my life. Because the south, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's wild.
Marseille is known for pizza. I didn't realize that.
When I asked, I didn't know that either. But when I asked you best thing, like I was like, what was the most memorable thing? You didn't even hesitate. You're like, this pizza.
It was the experience.
Yeah.
They look like people that, well, the south of France and Paris are so different. It's like very elegant and kind of like New York, but you know, kind of casual, but everyone looks really good. Everyone has their haircut and nice sweater. Very well put together.
Like me.
In Paris. Yeah, like you. And then Marseille is like...
super good looking.
Like L.A., but maybe a touch grimier.
Riverside.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like L.A., really.
Chino Hills, kind of.
Things are moving fast. People drive like crazy.
It's like Downey a little bit.
Kind of like Downey.
With Smiths?
With meth. And the Smiths, yeah.
Smoke Smiths?
Yeah, they smoke mints. And it looks like... I don't know if anyone's ever been to Italy or Spain, because, I mean, it's south, so it's on the same kind of... like longitude, like mm-hmm. really hilly, a lot of like beige with like red roofs, the clay roofs, mm-hmm. really beautiful, hard to get around. It's like a maze, you know, like a lot of those really photogenic alleyways that you picture,
but you can't like, see outside when you're in it.
Yeah,
kind of like, yeah, you've got blinders on, you can't really light. Figure your directions,
like a car chase in the film Ronin, perhaps.
Exactly, but like pre-iPhone would be super easy to get lost there.
So is Marseille, I mean, everyone talks about the reputation of it being a little bit of a dangerous kind
yeah,
of
well,
grimy.
Watch your stuff for sure. Yeah.
Mm.
So like it's fun. Known, it has
they're a, not nice.
It has a reputation of being like a pretty rough yeah. kind of.
To say they're not nice like they are in Paris really makes me not want to go there
so
at all.
So much nicer
because they're
Paris.
Fucking dicks in Paris.
Yeah, they suck in Paris.
They were cool in Paris. I had no problem. You just got to put a little effort in. And then Marseille, they just don't give a fuck about you if you're French or American. It's like right. you're a stranger, you know? Like people aren't friendly from the jump, rarely.
Nah, well,
some people are.
Do you have a blade?
Yeah.
You have cut?
You kind of need one. I definitely kept like all my valuables inside of my jacket, like on the inside side.
Hell
of my
yeah.
jacket,
were there a lot of gypsies? Gypsy
yeah.
folk.
How many yeah, rings did sure. you lose to gypsies kissing your hands?
Mm-hmm. Oh God, no!
Did anyone pull like the gold fillings out of your teeth or anything like that?
I wish I had gold fillings in my teeth.
So
cheap ones.
So then, so while you're in town, you had to like watch your shit, and like there was some bad boy behavior going on.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's exciting.
You could suss it out from a while away. Like, right. Oh, let's like walk on that side of the street. It's just mm-hmm. like that's not the end of the world. But just compare
like if that guy's
speaking,
wearing FUBU.
Yeah,
the wallet goes in the front pocket.
100%.
That guy's there's so much blood right there. We should probably walk on the other side of the street.
Yeah. All right. Well, the last.
So the pizza. Bit, so the pizza the, there was fire.
Pizza there is fire. Just like very rustic clay oven. There's a dude just with short shorts. I mean, this is cold. He's in short shorts. Has a fanny pack. Mm. Has like his name printed on his socks. Then he had like he had flame and hot chili Crocs. And this is not like a cool person. This is like a frumpy looking white dude.
Yeah, it's very clear this guy is not a cool person.
You know what I mean? Like not like there's no like hipster irony going on. This guy like doesn't give a fuck.
This is his regular fit.
And the dude that kind of brought us there, the dude that brought us there says he's there every day. Doesn't really like to talk to the guests. He's a kind of a shy guy. He works. He makes pizzas. We no longer make pizza. He quietly cleans, and I watch him clean, and he's fuck just like into it. Like it's like this.
He works.
It's
his he church. Cleans. He mongrels his socks,
and then he gets out. Yeah, of
I
bed.
Wanted. I wanted to go back to. He's hanging out. He's got his name Flame on his Crocs. Socks.
It was just. I'm just like yeah,
name on his socks.
Yeah, it was great. And then juxtaposed with his wife. Who was the front of the house, who I was kind of scared. She's like, oh, American. I was like, oh, fuck. You know, like, I thought she was yeah. vibing me. But she was just stoked. Like, oh, I get to practice my English. And I was like, oh, cool. Thank God. Mm-hmm.
She's like, are you yeah. an American who speak to all chefs in Paris this yeah. last week? We got email. Yeah.
Is that the iPhone 8?
Yeah.
yeah.
Let me hold that.
No, she was.
That's lovely. A nice wallet.
Lovely woman.
Can I see that? Is that real leather?
And then the spot, it literally just had pizza on the menu. It was no salad, no nothing else. Just a bunch of... out there, like there's a white pie section with a lot of cheese and honey kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And the classics, which is basically a margarita, but they call theirs like they do like it's called the whole spot's called Le Bon Mer and the good sea. And then lady, she got that. This dude Cyril that took us there, he's like, oh, I've been here 30 times. Like, oh yeah, what are the pieces are good? She's like, I don't know. I get the Bon Mer every time.
Yeah,
so, like what? There's so yeah, many things you, that look and, so good.
I was gonna say the town's known for the pizza. You told me, but you guys went to the spot.
We went to the spot that's like 2 years old, and that is like the poppin' place. And it's yeah. all walks of life. There are families, dudes in business suits, people like other American tourists. There's like, and everyone's just. when, you know, we're waiting for our table and everyone's walking, I'm like, fuck. You know, like, damn, this really just shut it down.
Yeah.
And it's as good as any pizza you'll ever have. And everyone that worked there was really, really nice. You know, chill wine, just a little carafe vibe. Easy.
But let's get back to those sea urchins.
That's where I want to wrap that up. The south of France, where we were properly staying, is Cassis, and that's like just a port town. But
well, there's no more urchins there for our listeners. By
no
the
more
way,
urchins.
They gone.
Yeah, I could
got them.
They gone.
And was friendly reminded how much seafood they eat there. The first meal that we had with her folks was a gigantic like mixed seafood platter, escargot, loads of oysters, shrimp. There was
squid.
There was no urchin, but it starts with the bulgo is like the it's almost like escargot instead of being a snail. It's in that conical shell that's like a spiral shell.
Oh yeah.
So, and it's a totally different texture. They're really firm. They're really, really good. Just like you pick it out with this little metal, like almost like a sewing needle, and you gouge it out of there, and you just cover it in butter and lemon, and shit was so good.
Chomp down on it real hard.
Yeah, but her dad showed up. It's a big platter of styrofoam, bunch of like, what's it called? Little ice balls, like crushed ice. And then everything is a gigantic mound. And then it's wrapped to hell in plastic so you can dry with it. Because I mean, that's a disgusting mess. That shit goes in
there. Sure.
And pre-shucked everything. I've never really had to like take the oyster
That's
off.
Almost the wildest story you've told so far.
And it was,
that
yeah.
It's so institutional that you can just get something like that to go. And
it
like,
was.
Oh,
that's,
yes, of course.
Because that was the most
you
alien.
You put it in your car, you drive, you eat. It's so good. It's new.
It's like, I'm going to pick up KFC on the way home from
work. And that's kind of what I was getting at. Everywhere I went to, it's like, well, we kind of have an equivalent of everything. Like, you can go to Proof Bakery in Atwater Village and get a sandwich that's almost as good as anything I've had there. And then there's other delicious restaurants that are as good as Chateaubriand. Honestly, you know, I've had great meals. And everything else I have in all like the London, like we have our equivalents. Mm-hmm. But this is where it's like, okay, like this is all alien to me. Like I've never seen anything like this. And I've been to, you know, you have some New Zealand or New England experience, and you eat a lot of seafood there, but I haven't had it like this. This is weird.
Yeah.
And we're sitting, so we had
It's different seafood too, right?
It's different seafood. Yeah. What's their vibe? Yeah. Oh. And then I'll get to the urchin in a second, but the same urchin guy is sitting in front of this one bistro. Mm-hmm. On the water. I mean, it's crazy to see in London, in Paris, and then in the south of France, literally just like restaurants right next to each other. So similar, but so subtly different, and they're all full. Especially because Cassis is so touristy and oceanic. Mm. And this one has a plug, like has a relationship with this uni guy, and he will open a dozen for you, sit them on your table, and then you can spoon them out, and then order your wine and beer and other like main entrees at this spot, and he just walks it over. He's the plug-in.
So he's an urchin.
He's the urchin, and I guess he's been doing this for decades and decades. He's probably like 50, 60. He's been doing it probably for like 30, 40 years just with this one spot.
What do you think that urchin's
hitting
for?
Well, he's dead now because he told him how much it costs in California, and he just dropped on the spot.
I was going to say, it seems like it's probably pretty cheap over there.
The uni? I never asked the price of the uni, so I'm not
one,
sure.
One piece costs how
much? I think it's pretty cheap. But the creme de la creme was the Christmas meal. It was it was on the 23rd, the day before I left. And then
in America,
course,
it's the 25th.
Yeah, thank you. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. You need to fucking travel more, you psychopath.
Idiot.
Yeah.
I've never traveled before.
Yeah, Jesus.
Meal, 23rd.
Yeah.
Christmas meal.
The first meal is a big, long table.
You start with a glass of wine?
Lots of wine, and then the uni comes out, and it's a same size platter that I said before. So, I mean, as big as your arms could make a circle of uni, but there were two of them. So, literally 100 halved uni. It was just the craziest thing. And if you haven't seen Jason's Instagram, it's just, I mean, you can't fit it all really
how
properly
many
in one photo.
People were there?
There were honestly 18 of us.
Ugh.
It was so, because not everyone gets down like that. Some of the, this is a very Cassis thing, even if you're from Marseille or you're from London or
a lot of people don't like sea urchins.
Yeah, like, so this French people are like, this is too much. I had two, maybe three, and it was still like, whoa. And then we're talking a half, not a full one, just a half. And it's much smaller. The pieces, if you get it whole, I mean, it was like a fourth of what a big uni on you get at a Japanese spot. Like it was way, way smaller. But super intense, really fresh. You could just taste all of the ocean. It was crazy.
Enough to eat yourself sick and
eat yourself sick. Well, then if you could do that, then it's immediately followed by, you know, charcuterie. And or even while the unis are still out, it's like, boom, here's the chikut.
Yeah, do you
here's
have,
cheese.
Are you
here's
eating
bread.
With a little bread?
Oh,
you...
yeah. It's all happening at the same time. Mustard
and you're
all
mixing
that.
And matching?
And you're mixing and matching. You're having wine. You're having wine. And then you kind of chill. You have a coffee. You cruise around. There's fruit. There's so much. Oh, my God. So much
smoking. Say hi to some cooks.
So much smoking. Jesus. And then
smoking.
And then the dinner happens. And it's just...
That's so funny that you just then said, then the dinner.
And then you eat. And then
yeah,
you
that's like the light lunch. Then the dinner is just like...
You dance, you make love.
Huge place. Like frog walk where it's cut like a bread loaf. Like it just, you have a like a square of frog walk. It's maybe like a quarter inch thick. And you just, it's just like way too much. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And you just like, I only needed a fourth of that piece and fuck, these fools are just
It's also a special
it.
Occasion.
It's a special occasion, but
it's
like,
it's not only
my
a holiday,
God.
But, you know, the wife's visiting with the new husband.
That's exactly
I'm sure
what
that's
it was.
Not a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, God, no. No, this is a Christmas meal, but it's still intense.
Yeah.
Snacks of, like, salmon rillettes, just, like, everything's fresh. Just so much food.
Rillettes
more
on
cheese.
Rillettes?
More cheese. More cheese. Loads of wine. There's food that we didn't even get to because even everyone... else was already so full. Like, this is insane. Like, no one really ate dessert. No one really had, like, there were supposed to be salads and other accoutrements, and, like, they didn't even get touched because the Big Daddy was two gigantic Le Creuset pots, like, the size of, you know, just, like, it's similar. It's like your arm, like, it was so heavy, like, 40
pounds.
You
could have taken a bath in these.
Could have taken a bath, yeah. It's like lamb.
Like a small kid's Le Creuset.
One question, yeah. What color were they?
All black, like, all cast iron black. They looked really good.
So
like
sick.
Matte black. They were sick.
Trishik.
Murdered.
Tons of just super, super, super tender lamb. You could smell the cinnamon all day cooking off. They started at like at 10, then we ate it at 10. Everything happened so late. Dinner was so late. Oh, my God. I was exhausted. And then after that, I had to wake up from my flight at 6 in the morning. But lamb, delicious wine, just ugh. I felt awful on the plane.
How much weight did you gain in the last week and a half?
Probably 12 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's all lamb meat.
It's coming off. And I honestly didn't drink that much.
Yeah.
Because I'd come off a month of no drinking, and there's just so much food that you just like, you're not even that, you're not thirsty for the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, God. I'm trying to think if there's anything I'm missing out on, but just.
You laid it all out, baby.
Yeah. It was crazy. It hurt.
Welcome back to LA where we have nothing but bone broth.
Bone broth. All right.
Bone broth, and it's time for Stewie to go to work, huh?
I gotta go to work, yeah.
That's okay. Well, the best thing I ate all week was a fucking Ferrero Rocher.
Wow.
What was the best thing I ate
That's
all week?
That's pretty good. Although, our friend was kind enough to do a little Christmas Eve roast.
Yeah, that
came out really
that was
good.
A delicious Christmas Eve roast.
I never.
He's not listening to this, so we don't need to shout him out.
He's an idiot too. I'm never going to his house again. I hate him.
Mine was 100%
dumb person in general.
A pour over and a smoothie because that's what I wanted so badly.
Yeah,
I miss
LA,
it so much.
When
pour
you're back,
over and a smoothie.
I always want a pour over, a smoothie, and then and Mexican food, but like
Jeez
from
Louise.
Not like from a taco truck and not from like a bomb ass place. I want like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Like a cactus or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I need to do that.
Or like a Terry's, like a little half a restaurant.
I actually really missed like a regular burger. I did have a few burgers, and I would ask for like medium rare, and it was just like cold because it was so rare. It's like just
too rare.
Chewing, yeah, too rare, but very good. Like I never felt like ooh good. Yeah,
I think the best thing I ate. There's this vegan snack shop that I just walked by randomly. I'd never heard of before in Echo Park called Lento. And they make some things. You've been there? I've never heard of it.
No, I just walked by there a million times. I knew it was good.
They make some stuff themselves, and they kind of specialize in having really nice vegan snacks. Like he was telling me, they have a ranch tortilla chip that's kind of like a vegan knockoff Cool Ranch Dorito.
Yeah.
I bought a bag. They're good. I mean, they're not a Cool Ranch Dorito, but they're vegan. And he was saying how hard it is to find anything ranch that's vegan. And sometimes somebody will come in and buy like 60 bags. Somebody will send their assistant and they just buy like 60 bags of these vegan Cool Ranch tortilla chips and dip.
So LA.
But They had this really, they had these cute little bags of granola they make themselves, like maple pecan granola. And I bought one just for, yeah, just for fun.
Just to support local business.
Just for me. And it was like maybe the best granola I ever had. It was really good.
Damn.
I had it the next morning with something not vegan called yogurt.
Yeah.
Made a little parfait.
Should have hit it with a little oat milk.
Get the coconut.
But it was really
yogurt.
Good.
What'd you say?
It's coconut yogurt.
Coconut yogurt.
I love yogurt. I love dairy. I love
too,
milk.
But coconut
I love
yogurt.
Yogurt
really good.
That shit.
I use a lot of coconut yogurt. The lady doesn't. The dairy doesn't agree with her, so I've been eating coconut yogurt religiously, and it's fantastic.
Not cheap.
Super good in your smoothie. No, but neither is good yogurt. I mean, I only buy the good shit when I eat yogurt.
Swag. Be nice.
Yeah.
Swag.
Yeah.
Good yogurt is cheap now.
Only Clover and Strauss.
Strauss is good.
Clover and Strauss.
Those are that's my dairy.
Yeah. Wallaby's good too.
Wallaby is good.
It sounds like you you already ate the best thing all week times a million things. Well, what was the best thing that you had out there on your European vacation, though?
The sandwich at the butcher shop.
The ham, cornichon,
crazy.
Butter, cheese.
It was like perfect temp with the bread, you know, just not warm, but just perfectly room temp. Incredibly soft. Even the crust, it was like crusty, but it wasn't, you know, like I wasn't cutting my mouth up. Just the butter was room temp and just like a big mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
Ham. I mean, you almost like didn't even need the ham because the butter and cheese alone were so good.
Yeah,
that's
what I love about those sons of bitches. We're just like, all right, bunch of butter and cheese, all that. Like you're really gilding the lily with that butter schmear all over the sandwich.
I mean, it's fucking peasant food. It's so simple. It's like something everyone would eat. You give it to a child, an old man, you know, if you're exhausted, if you're a businessman.
What about a child football player?
Yeah, they exist.
It's true. They do.
Yeah.
Snoop's dog kid was one once.
Yeah, I seen that.
Yeah.
Stewie, thank you so much for taking us on a journey.
Stewie, welcome home.
Thank I feel you. Like my brother is fucking Phil Rosenthal now.
Yeah, that's right. That's
out me. Here.
Well, Phil's got to go to work.
You can follow me on social media at @themjeans. Chris is at Stu Stewart.
I think so.
Andre Carnaparo has no social media, but make sure to tag # Andre Carnaparo has no social media.
Don't need to do that.
As the Instagram
phenomenon
grows.
That that's all Ken, I think.
Mm-hmm. And if you see Andre in the street, do not approach him. Say what up. No, just kidding. Say what up. Say what's up to me, and then I'll introduce him to you. Because you don't even know what he looks like because he doesn't have social media.
There you go.
He's a shorter guy, kind of round.
He's got IMDb somewhere, I'm sure.
Walks funny.
Check out his IMDb. He's not Danny DeVito-esque.
I wouldn't say traditionally handsome.
Traditionally handsome, yeah, sure.
No, I said I wouldn't say traditionally handsome.
Not at all. Getting a little gray.
If you've ever been to like New Guinea, then yeah.
What's the male equivalent of like a buffalo chick?
Ooh.
Offensive lineman? Football callback.
I just
want to say buffalo chick. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Love you guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next year.
May.
Oh, my God.
But.